The Sermon on the Mount is one of the most important sermons from Jesus. But because we don't understand what Jesus is saying, we don't understand the law of Moses, we've constructed teachings on divorce, and we've taken other statements by Jesus, and we've created this weird doctrine in theology. So on today, we're going to address, what does it mean eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth? What does it mean to turn the other cheek? We're going to deal with some of these statements made by Jesus. Make sure you stay tuned.
You are listening to the Divorced Christian Podcast Show with your host and teacher, Darius Good. He is the senior pastor of Bible Gospel Center and founder of Good Treasure Ministries. He is the author of the books Unlocking Godly Wisdom and The Divorced Christian. For more information, visit the website at thedivorcedchristian.com. And now, here's your host, Darius Good.
You're listening to the Divorced Christian Podcast Show. My name is Darius Good. I'm the senior pastor of Bible Gospel Center, which is located in Connecticut. I'm the author of two books regarding the subject of divorce. One is called The Divorced Christian, and the second book is called The Loophole. Both of these books I wrote because I needed understanding regarding the subject of divorce. And as I would ask Christian pastors, as I'm digging, looking for more information, I could not find the answers I was looking for. So I turned to Judaism and began talking to rabbis and different websites and different writings from the Torah, the Mishnah, and some of these other writings that became critical as they answered questions from the Old Testament. And in doing so, it also brought an enlightenment to the teachings of Jesus. The better I understood the law of Moses, as now I turn towards Jesus' teachings, and I'm seeing the same thing there in the Torah. And so this led to me writing another book, which is called The Sermon on the Mount. All this information you can find in today's notes. The links are there where you can purchase these books. But what I want to do on today is cover a few more of these topics from the Sermon on the Mount that have been badly destroyed in Christian teachings and doctrine and theology. Even some of the names that are the biggest names in Christianity, when I hear them explain certain statements made by Jesus, they just ignore the history. They ignore the culture of the Jewish people. And oftentimes, we'll take bits and pieces of Jewish culture as long as it aligns with the point that we're trying to make. But what I'm seeing is it's a major contradiction of the law of Moses. And so as I began to understand the law of Moses, I began to align it with the teachings of Jesus, and I didn't see any contradictions. So what I did was, in the Sermon on the Mount, I go through every statement that Jesus made, and I'll show you how he's quoting the law of Moses, and the next statement that he makes when he would make a statement such as, "But I say unto you," he's now quoting a lesser law in the law of Moses. As he stated in Matthew 5:17, "I did not come to destroy the law." And guess what? He did not destroy the law. It's important we understand, especially with the subject of divorce, as Christianity has created their own teachings, and they are literally made up. They are not biblical at all. And so what I want to do on today is continue with my teachings from the Sermon on the Mount. This is episode 81. It's entitled Eye for an Eye and Turn the Other Cheek. And I'm going to address these two points that Jesus made so we have full understanding of his teachings. What I'm going to do is outline this sermon so you have an understanding of Jesus' outline of his sermon. In doing so, you'll better understand what he's now explaining. So he makes a statement that any of you that teach others to break the least commandments, and they themselves were breaking these lesser commandments in the law of Moses, Jesus said that they would be the least in the kingdom of heaven. Now you can find this verse in Matthew 5:19, where you find this Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount begins in Matthew 5. It goes through chapter 6, chapter 7. And so it's a long sermon, but if we don't understand the outline, then we completely miss what Jesus is explaining. And he begins the sermon by letting you know what his topic is and what he's going to address. So he's addressing breaking the least commandments in the law of Moses. And so in verse 19, he explains those that teach and do them, referring to the entire law, the greater laws, or the weightier laws, and the lesser laws, If you're doing the law in its entirety, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And then in verse 20, Jesus actually singles out two particular groups, the scribes and the Pharisees. These are two of the groups that were teaching the people there in Israel to break these lesser laws. Now, there's others that Jesus names throughout the sermon. So for a quick list, it's the scribes, the Pharisees, the publicans, and then we have the zealots, we have the Essenes, we have the heathens, and we have the Gentiles. And these seven groups Jesus addressed in this sermon because these are the groups that are causing the Jewish people to stumble. So they're no longer observing the law of Moses, the great laws, and these lesser laws. So Jesus' entire sermon is calling back the Jewish people to their covenant, the Mosaic covenant, where the requirement is to keep the law in its entirety. So if you want to understand the Mosaic covenant, there's kind of a summary there in Deuteronomy chapter 28, where Moses is now speaking to the people. And if you jump down to, let's go to verse 1. It says, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, "It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth." So here comes all the promises if they would keep the law in its entirety. If you jump down to verse 14, Deuteronomy 28, verse 14, "And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day," any of the words. That's the greater commandments as well as the lesser. You can't decide which laws you want to keep. And this is a major problem I'm seeing in the church, as in our teachings. They actually pick and choose. They cherry pick the law of Moses as to which laws are important, which ones are not. But that covenant required full observance to the law of Moses in order to receive the fullness of the blessings. So he outlines the blessings there in Deuteronomy chapter 28. But when you get down to verse 15, so 1 through 14, if you keep the commandments, these are the blessings that will come upon you. But in verse 15, he then explains, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." So now he has a list of all the curses. So from verse 15 all the way down to verse 68, there are a lot of curses that will come upon the nation of Israel if they break the law. So it was understood among the Jewish people that if you broke one of the laws, it was the same as breaking the law in its entirety. And that's explained in the book of James from a New Testament standpoint. So with this being said, Jesus' entire sermon, he's addressing these seven groups that are having influence in the nation of Israel, and he's calling the nation back to its covenant, back to the original agreement. You got to keep the law in its entirety. There are 613 laws, and understand, the numbers were added later. So Moses didn't write out 613 laws, but somebody went through and just kind of categorized all the laws and kind of put them in a numeric order so that it's easier to understand. So there are 613 laws you are required to keep if you are going to be under the Mosaic law, the Mosaic covenant. Understand, the church is not under the Mosaic covenant. Our covenant is through Abraham, not through Moses. It's very important that we understand the difference, because we are not under the law. Our covenant is established through faith and grace. The Mosaic covenant, righteousness is established through observance and complete obedience to the law of Moses. So that's the difference there. So in this message, Jesus is talking to the Jewish people, and he's calling them back to complete observance of the law of Moses. So so the order you're going to find as you read through this passage here in Matthew 5, he's going to say things like verse 21. "You have heard it that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you," what Jesus first quoted was the law of Moses, So, but it's actually one of the greater laws. And then he's following it with a lesser law that he's telling the people it's important that you keep these laws. And so we could jump down to verse 27. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. He is quoting from the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not desire, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Why? Because another man's wife is unlawful. She's completely off limits. And this leads to other issues. And this becomes court matters or court issues if infidelity is involved. And so we covered this in previous episodes, and you can find the full explanation in my book. Here's another one. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. He's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 24, that in order to get a legal divorce, the woman has to receive her bill of divorcement. He says, but I say unto you, in this passage, he's quoting two unlawful marriages there in Israel. There's a total of six, which I cover in my book, The Loophole. I go through this in detail in The Loophole. There are six unlawful marriages. In this passage, verse 32, he's talking about two unlawful marriages. One is an adulterous marriage and one is an incestuous marriage. We will not cover that in detail on today. But what I do want to cover real quickly on last week or last episode, we covered where he said, thou shalt not forswear. So he's quoting the law of Moses. This is verse 33. You have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. So then the church began to teach you can't swear, because Jesus' next statement was, but I say unto you, swear not at all. So they view this as a contradiction. Now, the problem is the word forswear actually means to commit perjury in court. So the law says, do not commit perjury. Guess what? In the U.S. court system, you can't commit perjury either. You can't lie under oath. So Jesus is not saying, so when you go to court, don't swear. That's not what he's saying. So understand, greater law, lesser law, weightier law, lighter law. So the weightier law, when you go to court, make sure you tell the truth. But I'm saying to you, don't swear at all. Meaning, now we're addressing oaths, because in their everyday interaction, especially with business, they were making oath to each other. So Jesus is saying, listen, when you make an oath, it is critical that your yea be yea, your no be no. Why? Because you can end up going to court. Now, there's a whole issue there in Israel with the swearing. This is why he says, swear not at all, neither by heaven, do not swear by God's throne, do not swear by the earth, do not swear by the footstool, do not swear by Jerusalem. Because what the Pharisees were doing was deciding whether or not your oath was binding or non-binding. And Jesus addressed this in depth in Matthew chapter 23. So they were allowing people to break their oaths depending on who they swore to. So if you go to Matthew 23, verse 16, this is where Jesus addressed this issue again, whether swearing by the temple, but did you swear by the gold of the temple? And so they're kind of distinguishing based on what you swore on, whether you can legally break your vow. So Jesus said, let your yea be yea, let your no be no. In other words, keep your oath, which is actually a quote from the book of Ecclesiastes. So Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. It says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Verse 5 says, better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. What happens when you make a vow and don't pay? You end up in court. You get sued. This is the law. Jesus is talking about the law of Moses, about going before judges. And that's why he began the law by saying, listen, when you end up in court, the law says thou shalt not forswear. When you go to court, tell the truth. So let's go right into an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You can find this in my book on page 67. So Matthew 5, 38, Jesus said, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Verse 39, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now, this is a passage that people are very familiar with, but what they don't understand is the statement that's being made. So it's important that we understand eye for an eye is really a lex talionis. And that word is lextalionis, which really means it's the law of retaliation. So there under Jewish law, all the Jews, they understood that this law referred to a measure for measure. So what was done to you is to be done in return. But we had to understand that this is not referring to literal mutilation. So they weren't saying if you knock my tooth out, I can knock your tooth out. Or if you knock my eye out, I can knock your eye out. So to go back further in history, they have what was called the Code of Hammurabi. And this is from Babylon. This is where Abraham came from. And their codes, there literally was eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. So one of the laws there, Law 196 stated, if a man destroys the eye of another man, then they shall destroy his eye. Law 197 says, if a man breaks another man's bone, then they were to break that man's bone. Law 199, if he destroys the eye of a slave, he shall pay half his value. So what I did was I listed a couple of these laws from the Code of Hammurabi to understand that the law of Moses did not apply the concept of eye for an eye as a literal translation. They're using the concept of proportional justice, but they're not making it literal. So let me give you an example. So in Exodus 21, verses 22 and 25, the law gives a scenario of a man fighting and accidentally striking a pregnant woman, causing her to give birth prematurely or resulting in harm. So if life for a life was interpreted literally, then the offender's own child would have to be put to death in return. You killed this pregnant woman's child, then the man that was responsible, his child must die. Yet when you read the verdict of what Moses wrote under the Mosaic Covenant, the command was in Deuteronomy 24, verse 16, the father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. So if that's the case, then this man's child can't be touched. So then the formula of an eye for an eye is not a literal understanding. So it deals with equitable compensation, which is what the U.S. government uses. We could be sued civilly for damages or, you know, for injury, personal injury. So this is how this works, that it's not a literal translation. But the reason that this law was put in place was it was meant to deal with the issue of avengement, the issue of revenge. And so it really served three primary purposes, this lex talionis. It serves three purposes: to restrict excessive punishment, so it prevents retaliation that exceeds the original harm. The second thing it prevented was to ensure proportional justice, meaning it made certain the penalty matched the crime. And the third thing it did was it upheld fairness. So it applied the same standard to everyone, whether they were rich or if they were poor. So this really addressed the issue of retaliation, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. It addressed personal vengeance. Now, Jesus' very next statement to them, he says, do not resist him who was evil. Let me give you a better understanding or a clearer translation of what Jesus is saying. He's saying, do not retaliate against an evil person. Do not retaliate. We have the same laws in the United States. If something is done to you, I have the right to bring this person to court to allow a judge to judge the matter. So, but if I go for personal retaliation, now I'm breaking your windows out, I'm vandalizing your car, you know, you're setting someone's house on fire, now you're committing crimes. So we can see the similarity between the law of Moses and even our U.S. laws. So when Jesus now makes a statement about turning the other cheek. Jesus is describing you being struck by a person. Let me give you this example. If somebody strikes you in the cheek, but this is all connected to his previous statement, do not retaliate against an evil person. So he's going to give you a masterclass in how to address this issue, because Jesus is saying, do not fight back. Do not seek revenge, even when you're mistreated. OK, now there's something that people always miss. Jesus purposely said the right cheek. Why? Because the concept is that most people are right-handed. So now if you are struck on the right cheek by someone that is right-handed, that means that you are a backhand. They backhand you as opposed to striking you with the palm. So there in Israel, what that meant was it's not a assault. It's actually a insult. So it's not an issue of violence. It's an issue of somebody insulting you. They're trying to humiliate you. And this is key that we understand the Jewish culture. So in ancient Israel or the Jewish culture, the backhand wasn't just physical aggression. It was an act of utter contempt meant to shame the victim publicly. Now, because I said this is a lesser law, this means there are laws on the books that address someone being backhand or even somebody being struck by the palm. Guess what? I found that law. So if you go to my book, page 71, I explain how this law works. There was damages and there was compensation for humiliation. And it explained in the Mishnah that a slap with the palm, it equaled 200 zuz. The word is Z-U-Z. So they were fined for 200 zuz. But if you were backhand, a backhand slap, which was considered insulting, the fine was double. It was 400 zuz. So when Jesus said, turn the other cheek, the Jewish audience immediately understood that he was talking about a costly insult under the law of Moses. And so now he's teaching that the way to defeat it was not through retaliation. Don't fight for dignity through vengeance. He's saying demonstrate dignity through restraint and self-control and upholding your own integrity. Turn the other cheek. Make sure that they look you in the eye, that you're not treating me as being less than you. You're not going to insult me. You're not going to degrade me. And so it's a brilliant strategy that Jesus is putting in place so that now you can't also be charged with a crime. And now you also have to pay a fine or where you could have gotten paid. Now the pay basically, you know, is an eye for an eye. So Jesus continues as he talks about lending. Giving and lending, he talks about going the extra mile. Going the extra mile actually addresses the Roman soldiers that would force the Jewish people to carry their belongings for a mile. And Jesus gave them really great advice on how to address these issues as you are really being mishandled by the Romans. That statement directly targets the zealots, because the zealots were killing Roman soldiers and they were killing anyone that sympathized with Romans. So any Jews that sympathized with Romans, they were being killed by the zealots as well. So as I mentioned, Jesus is addressing these seven groups. And if you don't understand the social climate during that time, then you miss out on some of these statements that Jesus makes that's addressing these particular groups. When Jesus said, love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy, Matthew 5:43, that is not in the law of Moses. And I've heard ministers say the law said to you can hate your enemy. That is not true at all. I'm not sure where they got that from. It's very ignorant. But the law of Moses does not teach that. So Jesus makes this statement. You have heard that it hath been said. He's not saying in olden times. He's not saying in the law. So that statement of love thy neighbor but hate thy enemy actually came from the Essenes. There's teachings that they were promoting during that time of hating thy enemy. And they were putting the Romans into that category. They're putting Gentiles into those categories. But Jesus now quotes the law of Moses, where it says to love thy neighbor as thyself, which is a direct quote from the law of Moses, which is Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, where it says, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. So once again, Jesus is quoting the law of Moses. Greater laws, lesser laws, greater law, lesser laws. But now we get to a point where he's quoting some of the other groups, and these statements are not in the law, but he is highlighting the law of Moses and the importance of keeping our covenant or keeping their covenant with God. Thank you for joining us on today. In our next episode, we're going to cover Matthew 5, verses 31 and 32, where Jesus addresses the law of Moses regarding divorce. But we're going to look at specifically why Jesus used the word fornication as being the exception and not the word adultery. Please purchase the book today, The Sermon on the Mount, as well as The Loophole. You'll find those links for that information there in today's notes. Visit our website today, thedivorcedchristian.com. Remember to like, share, and subscribe. Until next time, be blessed.
You've been listening to The Divorced Christian Podcast Show with your host, Darius Good. This was a Good Treasure Ministries production. Darius is the senior pastor of Bible Gospel Center, and he is the author of the book, The Divorced Christian. To learn more about this book and other books written by Darius, or to listen to other episodes of our podcast show, visit our website today at thedivorcedchristian.com. We pray that today's episode has brought revelation, understanding, and healing. Please like, share, and subscribe to our podcast show. And until next time, be blessed.